Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Well, the regular season concluded yesterday. Our time and... Now all basketball fans around the world will begin to be glued again to their TV screens for the next couple of months with the NBA playoffs right around the corner. The picture is starting to take its final form with only the play-in tournament remaining until the best players in the world compete for the Larry O'Brien Trophy. Well, a familiar voice to our show is Mr. Sam Brief, who joins us live from Chicago where he resides, and of course he's a big Bulls fan. To explain a wee bit more about this next period between the playoffs proper. Sam, good morning to you.
Good morning, Ian. Happy NBA playoff season. Always great to be on the show.
It's great to have you back. Love your voice and love your enthusiasm. But, Sam, what we need from you initially is just a little bit of information about this playoff tournament, Eastern Conference, Western Conference, which begins just over a day's time.
Yeah, we're about 24 hours away from tip-off, and here in Chicago, a lot of people are watching nervously because the Chicago Bulls are a part of it. The play-in tournament is interesting. It's still brand new to the NBA. It's only been going on for a few years, and essentially, the way it works is in the Eastern Conference and in the Western Conference, seeds 7, 8, 9, and 10 are in this little mini play-in tournament before the playoffs proper. And the 7 seed plays the 8 seed. Then the 9 seed plays the 10 seed. The loser of the 9-10 game is out. They go home, watch from their couch. The winner of the 7-8 game moves on. They are through to the next round. So then the loser of that 7-8 game, right, the team that doesn't get to move on quite yet, moves on to the next round of the play-in tournament to play the winner of the 9-10 game. Those two teams then play for the final spot in the playoffs, and that would be the 8 seed. So it's a way to add a little bit of juice to get 10 teams into the playoffs instead of 8 per conference. And it just adds, you know, more of a TV spectacle. We got some great teams in the play-in this year.
I was going to say, if I said to you at the start of the season, Lakers, Golden State, and Philadelphia, just to name three, will be in there, and maybe your Chicago Bulls, you might have said you'd be joking, wouldn't you? You'd be joking looking at some of their playing rosters.
I think so, and the unfortunate thing for Philadelphia, for example, is it's really just due to injury. I mean, if Joel Embiid had stayed healthy all season, they'd probably be a top four seed in the East, maybe even better than that, but he missed almost the entire second half of the season with a meniscus injury, and they're a 7 seed. But then you also have the LeBron James Anthony Davis-led Lakers, the Steph Clay Draymond Warriors, and another legacy franchise in the Bulls, although they've been pretty mediocre for the better part of this decade. So you got a lot of big players in the play-in tournament, which really makes it must-see TV.
Okay, so let's stay close to home for you. Match up against the Atlanta. How does that suit?
It suits pretty well because like the Bulls, Atlanta is pretty riddled with injury. I mean, Trae Young, who's by far their best player, the sharpshooter from Oklahoma, he had finger surgery on his left hand a little while ago, and they're very thin. So they played 3 times during the season. The Bulls won 2 of those games. The Bulls are a really strong defensive team led by Alex Caruso, and they've got one of the best closers in the NBA. I mean, almost every metric would tell you that DeMar DeRozan is a top 5 clutch player in the NBA. In spite of that, the Bulls are still incredibly mediocre, but all that mixed with the fact that Atlanta's banged up, mixed with the fact that the game's in Chicago, leads me to believe the Bulls will win.
Is it possible, I suppose it is when you look at the draw, that LeBron James and Steph Curry will be playing golf or doing something different when the serious stuff goes on this year?
It's possible. It's very possible. I mean, here's the thing. The Warriors, for example, are only one loss away from going to play golf. And the good news is Steph Curry is really good at golf. So either way, he's going to do something he loves. They're the 10 seed playing the 9 seeded Kings. I would be, frankly, stunned if the Warriors lose this game. I mean, really, Steph, Clay, Draymond team. I mean, I know they've gotten older. I know they have their issues. They're the 10 seed for a reason, but they're not going to lose to the Sacramento Kings. They will not. So it's possible, but frankly, I'd be stunned if Steph is playing golf in a couple of days.
Let's look at the strength of the Western Conference. Top 10 teams have all had 46-plus wins. Is this as strong as it's been for a while?
Of course. It's super strong, the West. I mean, you have those power players like the Warriors, like the Lakers, at the 8 seed and the 10 seed. That tells you just how strong this is. I mean, you could make a case for maybe 7 or 8 teams in the Western Conference to win the NBA Finals. You have the upstart Thunder. You have the defending champion Nuggets. Minnesota is a phenomenal team. The Doncic-led Mavericks, the Kawhi Leonard-led Clippers, the Suns have Durant and Booker. I mean, these teams are loaded. And then at the very bottom, you still have the power players like LeBron, like Steph Curry. The Kings are a nice upstart team. And the Pelicans have Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram, and a lot of momentum. So I just made a case for just about every team in the West, which tells you just how deep this is. It's frankly kind of ridiculous how loaded it is.
Down this part of the world, when Stephen Adams was part of OKC, we sort of adopted the Thunder. But since he's left, of course, and he's had no involvement in the season this year at all, they've sort of slipped under our radar. Did they slip under your radar of the Thunder to where they've finished up after the regular season?
No, the Thunder are very much on the radar, and they beat the Mavericks by about 40 points yesterday to clinch the number one seed in the West. I mean, how incredible is it, Ian, given how phenomenal the Western Conference is, that the Thunder are the number one seed? They outplayed the Nuggets, for crying out loud, which is one of the better teams I've seen this decade in the NBA. And the Thunder enter the playoffs as the youngest number one seed in NBA history. They've got no playoff experience, and they might go up against a team like the Golden State Warriors or the LA Lakers in the first round. So it's going to be a very interesting matchup of youth against experience. But the Thunder have an MVP-type player in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Chet Holmgren is a basketball unicorn. Jalen Williams is phenomenal. This is quite possibly the most loaded team in the NBA. So they are very much, very much on the radar.
The Celtics have had a terrific regular season in the Eastern Conference. Does anyone have a chance against them? Do you feel that they're the outright favorites?
They are certainly the outright favorites. They're one of only 14 teams in NBA history to win 64 games or more. I mean, Celtics only lost 18 games this year. They're loaded. I mean, make no mistake. Anytime you put Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Drew Holiday, Kristaps Porzingis on the same roster, you're going to have a downright nasty team. Plus, the Bucks, who might be their top competition, are a bit hobbled right now because there's a calf injury for Giannis Antetokounmpo. So you have a hobbled Bucks team. The Knicks are hobbled because they don't have Julius Randle. And then Cavs, Magic, Pacers, all young and unproven. It's really the Celtics versus the field in the East, while in the West, it's just kind of every competitor for themselves because it's such a stacked conference.
What about the Knicks? Have they surprised you this year?
The Knicks have very much surprised me this year. Jalen Brunson is turning out to be a superstar, and he was capable of lifting them to the number two seed. I mean, if you told me on day one of the season that the Knicks would be the two seed in the East, I would not have believed that at all. I'd probably tell you Philadelphia would have been the two seed. Unfortunate thing for the Knicks is they don't have Julius Randle, and especially considering that they'll have to go through Boston if they want any chance to win this conference, they need to be full strength, and they're just not. So Jalen Brunson's phenomenal, but it's not going to be enough for the Knicks. That being said, a really great regular season in New York.
Could you this far out predict the NBA playoffs, the final playoffs, two biggest contenders, Boston and who?
Yeah, if I had to pick right now, I would go a little bit chalky and tell you it's going to be Boston and Denver, with Denver going back to back. I don't see anyone stopping Nikola Jokic. I mean, he has been the story of the NBA since the COVID bubble. He is the best player in the world right now, and they have built that system around him to perfection, with Jamal Murray by his side and a really disciplined defense, and now a veteran team that's already been through an NBA Finals run. I don't see anyone beating Denver. There are some nice young teams out west. Oklahoma City, Minnesota, we already talked about them. But this is all about the Denver Nuggets, and I think we go Denver-Boston in the finals, with Denver taking it.
In terms of individual awards, is Jokic again MVP?
So I told you that this has been all about Nikola Jokic, and with the MVP, it's no different. Jokic will be the MVP. The only other players you can make a case for are Luka Doncic and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who have put together sensational seasons. Make no mistake, in any other year, with the numbers that Luka Doncic has posted, he'd be the MVP. But it's Nikola Jokic. He will win. It's pretty much a done deal. I'd be absolutely stunned if anyone else took it.
Victor Wembanyama. He'll be Rookie of the Year, I'd imagine.
Oh, yeah. He's Rookie of the Year, absolutely. Wembanyama, in spite of his team being downright horrible, I mean, the Spurs were one of the worst teams in the NBA. This guy's ridiculous. Ridiculous. He averaged a double-double with 4 assists and almost 4 blocks per game. He clearly instilled fear into the hearts of everyone. I don't know if you saw the clip where the Spurs opponent had 3 players on a fast break against just Wembanyama and did not even get a shot off because they were so scared that he would block one of them. I mean, he really changes the game just by being on the court. I love to watch him. The world has now gotten accustomed to the beauty of watching him. He'll be Rookie of the Year.
Just going back a few days to the March Madness Grand Final, and I just looking at the performance of UConn and the two big men in the game, Zach Edey and Donovan Clingan. What would be their immediate futures now with the profile that existed around them?
Well, Donovan Clingan is in the news because he just announced 3 days ago that he is going to go for the NBA draft. So he's signed out of college basketball. He'll go to the NBA. And he's likely a lottery pick, which means he's likely to get picked in the top 16 of the NBA draft. He's really quick. He's 7'2", so he can change the game offensively and defensively. He's a top prospect, no doubt. Now, Zach Edey is going to be one of the more controversial draft prospects in recent memory because on the one hand, he's 7'4", almost 300 pounds, and is a beast. I mean, he won back-to-back Player of the Year honors in college basketball, which is incredibly rare. But his skill set's incredibly lacking. He doesn't have touch outside of 10 feet. He's not really a strong shooter. I don't know if his body can keep up with the NBA game and the conditioning that's needed. So he's unlikely to be a first-round pick. I would expect Klingon to be off the board far sooner, but there are NBA teams that will give both of these big guys a shot. And frankly, it's going to be a nice experiment to see if the old-school big man can still thrive in the modern NBA.
Would Klingon go very quickly in the draft, or would it be a little bit further back than you would think?
Klingon should be a top five pick. In fact, I would consider him a contender to be number one overall. I'd be surprised. But it somewhere in the, let's say, 4 to 7 range would be where I'd expect Klingon to go.
Terrific climax to the NCAA women as well. I'm not sure of, in terms of a college athlete, a female college athlete, I've seen more written and said about Caitlin Clark. What a dominant figure, even though not successful.
Well, she was incredibly successful this year in that she changed how women's basketball is perceived in America. I mean, for the first time ever, there were more viewers, by a margin of almost 4 million, there were more viewers for the women's national championship game than the men's national championship game. I mean, to step back and think what goes into making a number like that possible of almost 20 million people watching, Caitlin Clark has accomplished a great deal. She leaves as the all-time college basketball leading scorer. Yes, she was unable to win at all. I mean, she went up against a powerhouse of a team in South Carolina, but Caitlin Clark is among the great college athletes in any sport ever in America. And tonight she'll get drafted first overall in the WNBA draft. She'll head to the Indiana Fever, and we'll see if the Caitlin Clark effect can do to the WNBA what it did to women's college basketball.
That is phenomenal when you consider it along those lines. Just before we let you go, if we could just ask you about a couple of very high-profile Americans who have been in the news for entirely different reasons. How good is Scottie Scheffler perceived now?
Oh, he's among the best golfers in modern history. I mean, he's probably the closest thing we get post-2000 to Tiger Woods. He's already won 2 Masters, and he hasn't even turned 30 years old. You could make a case that he might challenge Jack Nicklaus's record of 6 Masters. And Scottie Scheffler's showing no sign of slowing down. So, yeah, I think when we look at Scottie Scheffler, as time goes on, I think of him less as, oh, he maybe is the next Rory McIlroy or the next, these guys, Dustin Johnson. No, he's better than all of them. He could be the greatest American golfer since Tiger.
Wow. Okay. And the other one, for entirely different reasons, was the passing of O.J. Simpson. He got a headline or two over here, but I'm not sure. How long did it stay? And how big was it, his passing in America, from your point of view?
Well, the thing with O.J. Simpson is he climaxed in terms of his international reach in the 90s, right? He hasn't been in the news in the last few years at all. I don't think many people even knew that he was suffering from cancer. So when he died, it did kind of come as a shock. There was a lot of media coverage about it, though. I mean, this is someone who, in his first career as an athlete, made sensational waves. In his second career as an actor, he did the same. And then, of course, you have all the drama of the alleged murder of Nicole Brown Simpson and the trial and him being acquitted and all the fallout from that. And then going back into prison for theft in Las Vegas of a sports memorabilia shop. And he was an incredibly controversial and polarizing figure and will probably go down in 20 and 21st century America as one of the top 10 figures, for better or for worse, in terms of popularity. Just name recognition. You walk up to someone on the street in Chicago or New York or Los Angeles or anywhere, and you say O.J. Simpson, they know who that is. Right. So he's right up there with the presidents and the Taylor Swifts and all these superstars. Right. So obviously a controversial figure. And there was a lot of reflection on both ends when OJ passed away.
Okay, Sam. Fantastic to catch up with you. Thank you very much for your time. All the very best against Atlanta in around 24 hours' time. So you can make the next phase. That would be great. Sam, you're a genius. Thank you so much. Love your enthusiasm.
Ian, you're a genius. I hope I can come back and talk a little more NBA playoffs as we heat up. Eager to see how this one turns out. But thanks so much for the time.